Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Futures in a pretty tight range here after 4 days up for the Dow. Busy day as we await Apple's iPhone event this afternoon. Bunch of downgrades with names like Wells Fargo and Wendy's on the list. Europe is mixed. A 10-year 164. You got oil at a six-week high. Our roadmap's going to begin with Apple's moment of truth, set to unveil its latest iPhone lineup today. But for a company increasingly focused on services, will it move the needle for investors?
Plus, we're going to talk about WeWork's embattled IPO plans, what that could mean, of course, for the company's global expansion.
And play the long game. That's the White House's message for Wall Street on China trade. Stocks are pointed to a muted open today. Apple is set to unveil its latest new iPhone models and some other product updates today. Features on the phones might include upgraded processors, new camera functionality. The event will take place at Apple's headquarters in California, begin at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Jim, just talking about what else we might hear about content, some of the shows that are going to be rolling out in the coming days.
I think they've got some exciting TV, and I want to see trailers. I think that there are people are underestimating what they've been working on that. I would love to hear more credit card. I just think that it's too early. I do think that anyone who's got the watch, the iterations are getting very exciting. The watch sales, you're going to hear some incredible numbers, I believe. Service revenue going to be very strong. Not sure exactly what to say about the 11 because they've been pretty close-mouthed about it. Those of us who have the 8 and the 10, the 10 was stolen from me by my daughter. You're chock full of things, and we would like to hear more about that. But I really think that this is about accessories, and I think it's about content. And I like both of those.
Well, that's sort of where it's at right now, unless they surprise us with some functionality on cameras. There's a bunch of theories going about rear-facing cameras, some ways they could still surprise us on the phone itself.
You know, the thing that I think that people want more than anything is a Cirrus Logic chip that makes it so that our phone has the same power as any single JBL unit so that we can just put our phone in and the party. We don't need to have it Bluetooth. They can't do that yet, and that's Cirrus Logic. They've got to figure out how to make it so it's this sound. And I've been open. This is really would be a great feature. But technologically, they're not there yet. There was a fellow on our air yesterday calling for the firing of Tim Cook. I thought that was
Calacanis? Who was this?
Yeah, Calacanis. Yeah. I thought that was ill-advised.
Do you think there's going to be anything today that changes somebody's opinion one way or the other?
Well, look, the stock has run ahead. I wish it hadn't. I don't like that. I don't think any of the analysts will change. I think that you have to wait until service revenue and wearables cost more than 50. And I also think that we just endlessly have China. Remember, Nike said China sales are great. Canada Goose said China sales are great. Starbucks, China sales are great.
The Chinese consumer,
very strong.
In contrast to perhaps the broader economy there, seems strong.
Yes, and I think that when I heard Estee Lauder having the blowout quarter, you know, what with China. And then listen to Peter Navarro today, and Peter's got the seven deadly Chinese sins that he likes to talk about.
Yes.
And I do think that anything China, obviously, it could create a ripple. But I need TV. I'd love to see some great trailers.
You need more channels. You don't have enough channels. Not enough streaming services for you at this point. Not enough shows to choose from.
To that point, how can they even make a mark here? I know the Apple feels like they have to. What are they doing? Really?
Well, maybe
they got some
been
show with a bunch of actors from the 90s about
more
TV? That's their thing?
Have you looked at that?
No, I'm not going to.
You're not
going
to?
I lived it. No. I don't need to look
at it. Oh, no, you're going to subscribe because of it. Because it looks like the funniest thing I've seen in a while. Oh, God. I just,
you got to admit, the bar is high to break out in terms of content, especially
now. I think that they've got some pretty good talent in that Good Morning show.
Okay. And I don't mean to discount Apple's ability to find good people and spend a lot of money. And conceivably, it appears they're not going to buy their way into this by buying a content company.
Well, you
they're going to build it. But
you don't believe in content. I respect that.
I believe in it. I just think, to Carl's point, there's an awful lot of competition out there from people who have been doing it for a while now and know how to do it pretty well.
Do you think that the Moffitt Nathanson piece yesterday about how Viacom, they do not want Santayana, you know, history repeats itself, that they do not want to miss the Viacom run. Do you think that Malone is part of it? Because they talk about Discovery.
I don't have any idea what you're asking me.
There was a peak.
Malone is part of what?
Now, remember when Malone, when you broke...
Are you changing this off from Apple to Viacom?
No, I was trying to praise you. You make it so hard to praise yourself. Remember when you broke the story that Malone liked Discovery?
Yeah.
You don't even remember that.
Yeah, no, I do.
How come I remember... Well, they wrote a piece yesterday saying that... Malone. Right. Moses Malone.
No, actually, it's coming up. We're not too far from my
Viacom,
sit down with John.
Viacom, the piece yesterday was about how content could be very good by Bob and Nathanson.
Yes.
I think that there are people who will search for good content everywhere. I watched a game last night on my handheld. It was a fantastic game. New Orleans, the Texans. I think as long as I don't have to pay for 7 services. Roku was down badly yesterday, but that was part of a broader decline. But I'm more bullish on services than most people. I am. Until they get to the price of cable.
We're going
to
talk a lot more this hour about the shift in momentum and what happened yesterday between growth and value. Because it was crazy.
Oh, my.
Outlier.
I think that's usually a precursor for the whole market to go down.
A lot of people are talking about that, these internal factors in the market, and exactly what Carl just referenced.
That
move into value
ETF.
Away from momentum and some 10 sigma event.
10 sigma, three deviations. I felt like I was back in a calculus class, which I shrewdly dropped for art so I could have the 4.0 that I needed to be able to get into Harvard.
We'll get to the broader market, obviously, before we get the open.
It's a bad sign. It's not a good sign.
It's a bad sign.
Yes, it's bad. When you see those stocks roll over, usually the stocks that they're coming for. I mean, I had Zoom Video on last night. What an incredible story. That stock cannot raise its head. Beyond meat.
Speaking of recent IPOs, did want to get to WeWork this morning, or the We Company,
How much did that cost We Company to be able to call itself We Company?
I don't know what it cost it, but an opportunity to discuss this in the future, because as of now, everybody close to this situation indicates it's full speed ahead with the plans for an IPO. There's been some press. By the way, our Leslie Picker's been reporting on the likelihood of this as well. There's been some press, including in the FT, about SoftBank's potential resistance to an IPO. We've talked about that over the last week or so as the expected range of said IPO has come down and down and down. You've wondered whether SoftBank would sit there and try to perhaps protest and say, please don't, because you're going to force us to mark down our current investment, some $10 billion they put in the company, at higher valuations. But it does appear, guys, that they are fully poised to begin a roadshow as soon as Monday.
Really?
For the IPO. And if it's got to get done at $18 billion or $19 billion, it appears that at this point the Wee Company is fully ready to take that on. And perhaps you get down to that level, you actually find some demand, and you can have a successful initial public offering.
No, David, I think a lot of people out who are watching this are saying to themselves, how desperate, what the heck do they need to do the deal for?
Well, they need to raise the money, given how much they're spending. They have some debt, some covenants in their debt as well that is somewhat dependent on their ability to raise a certain amount of money. So it's important to them. Without a doubt. And, you know, the way the calendar is working, it would appear that likely, perhaps, they're going to start as soon as Monday in terms of a roadshow. Typically, they go 2 weeks. Not clear if they'd want to try and cut it a little short to get ahead of the Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah, which is the 30th, I think. But we'll see. But that's where things stand right now with the Wee Company. Obviously, SoftBank may be looking at, on paper at least, if they do come at this kind of valuation, a significant write-down, or at least there's some analysts out with numbers today about it. I think Bernstein looking at what they'd have to take.
Periodically, people have to take losses. Periodically.
Yeah.
Part of the game.
Yeah, it's part of the game. Vision Fund 1's done very well. Yeah. The question is, how does it impact Vision Fund 2? By the way, I mean, we did speak to Masa last March. He's such a big fan of the Wee Company. He wanted to buy a lot more, remember. He told us during this interview, in fact, Masa, who runs SoftBank, that he wanted to buy more. But the Saudis had veto power over his ability to do that. So they did a deal for another few billion at that high valuation of $47 billion. But here's what Masa had to say last March about his overall view of the business model.
They're growing so quickly, and they're investing into the CapEx. Right?
Yep.
But it's a recurring revenue. It's an ongoing recurring revenue. It's like a subscription. You know the subscription of magazines or newspaper, and now Netflix. Netflix is still losing money, but the value of the company is tremendous compared to other media companies.
Well, I do think that the one saving grace here is that when I check on WeWorks, just in my own informal checks, a lot of them are filled. It's not like they have nothing. It's just that if they hadn't been paid so high, I think people, that's cutting back to your, like, if it was $18 billion. I mean, it is a model that works for small and medium-sized business. So when I met Newman before he became almost like Newman from Seinfeld, but when I met Newman, they were just so terrific. And the valuation was so low, and I wanted to get an office, just be able to have an office, maybe just like have a place to like camp out.
Listen, the bulls will say to you at some point, corporations are going to treat their facilities where they have their workers like they do the cloud. It's going to be a subscription service. I have my cloud providers. I also have the Weed Company, which takes care of all of my needs from my employees. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to buy the space, build the space, figure out, optimize. They do all of that. And that's the bullish case.
All the Weeds within a mile of here are filled.
But safe to say you're not a fan of the FT's reporting today that says SoftBank is urging them to shelve the IPO.
You know, those two things could still be true. They could be urging them, but the Wee Company is not interested in shelving the IPO.
Well, it's interesting they want to do it. This tape is terrible
for them.
Some
this morning said 100%. 100%.
This tape is late. We're going. If you have anything that's high multiple, I mean, CrowdStrike. It's like CrowdStrike's really good. VMware, I've got them on tonight. I think they'll like savage CrowdStrike.
That's to the point we're just making about the market.
We had this incredible
turn in high momentum stocks because of perhaps some of the positive feelings about China trade, and suddenly you've got the value coming in.
Yes.
All the things that have sort of been on the shorter side, right?
I mean, you have Mnuchin speaking tomorrow on Squawk, which is a great get, Squawkbox. And, you know, he's going to be optimistic. And so there's one more reason to go buy a company that's levered to China and not own Okta. I mean, Okta, Zscaler. I mean, these are the ones where it's just incredible. I mean, it is almost New York Giant-like in its proportions of disaster. Okay, maybe the Dolphins. Just trying to
find. Steelers
didn't
look too good either.
Steelers, too. I mean, it's really sit and stand. You're sitting. You're sitting all the momentum stocks, just, you know. There's a great intersection between Wall Street and fantasy.
And fantasy
21%
football. Well, you do that better than anybody.
Well, thank you, but I don't like what I see in terms of the tape. I mean, it is dreadful. And it doesn't matter, by the way. Some of these companies actually make money. I am shocked. I mean, Alteryx, one of the great companies, is really putting all of Excel to shame. I had them on last night. Oh, my God. Dean Stoker. I mean, look at what a great company. There are going to be some buys here. And we're going to have to see, though. They have to bottom first before you just go buy them. No bottom yet. And that's what everyone, you know, when I look at my Twitter, well, I can't bear to look at my Twitter feed because all of it is, you know, how could you tell me that you liked, I don't know, Zendesk?
So your point, though, is that the sudden rally in value versus momentum and the dividend-paying stocks versus, you know, what was working. Long secular growth, defensives, large cap had been working, now it's not. That's a bad thing?
It's usually a precursor to an overall decline.
Just because of the violence of the move itself.
The violence, yes. I like that. The collision course. The helmet to helmet, Dave. Got it.
Yep. Putting the helmet right into the shoulder. That's absolutely true.
Holy cow, I got a personal foul on some of these sellers.
We're going to get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell in a moment. We'll get to some of these downgrades today. Wendy's, Dollar General, Wells Fargo, obviously Altria. More Squawk on the Street starts in a minute.
Time for a Mad Dash as we get you ready for the opening bell here on a Tuesday at the NYSE. Little DuPont.
You rarely see this kind of research. This is a Citi piece talking about potential portfolio breakup optionality buy. This is basically saying, listen, we are going to do something to bring out value. We are going to make sales. They can do that now. As you notice, this has not been a good stock, and Dow Chemical also has been bad. David, they shrunk and it didn't grow. you know, divided a bunch
yes,
of companies.
The idea was shrink to grow. It took forever, it seemed, to break into three companies. It all happened and no value was created.
None. But Ed Breen is with this one. I saw Ed this weekend. He was wearing a Jaworski throwback jersey at the Eagles game. Really good guy. We're both Philadelphians. I think he went to Castle Rock. Here's the problem, David. In the end, these are cyclical companies, Dow, cyclical, DuPont. I mean, you need a magician to make things work. But Ed Breen is a magician. I do believe that the Citi piece will be right.
They're talking about more asset sales?
They have a nutrition business they can break up.
Okay.
My charitable trust owns it. It's been a bad performer.
Yeah. I'd say it has, yeah.
Well, I don't need you to double down.
Well, I am. I'm telling you.
What are you down here giving me the business? What are you, like, going down there giving me the business? But, yeah, I mean, this is a piece that says that don't give up hope. And I think that it's reasonable because the stock is not expensive. In this environment where they don't like the Zscalers, David. I know Zscaler's personal favorite of yours, and so is Okta. Someone called it Okta the other day. No, it's these crowd-favored cyber plays. This is an inexpensive stock. If you believe that China's going to suddenly morph into something that is, let's say, a good trading partner, which I don't think is possible, you want to own this.
Got it. Okay. We'll keep an eye on DuPont.
Yeah. Would you do that?
Yeah, I will. We're going to keep an eye on a bunch of other things, too, actually.
Okay.
Uber and Lyft, given what's going on in California. By the way, also, we got attorneys general, remember, North Carolina, Minnesota, well, lots of states.
I mean, there are like 50 of those guys, you know?
Jeez. By the way, there was a story that said 50 state AGs representing almost all the states. Like, what? What am I missing?
Yeah, so is that the 600 stocks in the S&P 500?
Yeah, I've seen. Is there double? Do they have double AGs from some states? Anyhow. Oh, California is not part of it. Okay.
It's 48.
Oh. It's 48.
Okay. Hawaii and Alaska haven't been admitted yet.
All right. We're going to keep an eye on that story. That's what I was trying to tell you, by the way. Let's give you another look at futures as well this morning. We got an opening bell 10 minutes from now.
We've had four straight days up on the Dow. S&P really hasn't moved last couple of days. Futures remain moderately weak here. We're going to get the opening bell in just about 8 minutes. You're watching CNBC Squawk on the Street, live from the financial capital of the world. The opening bell in just about 5 minutes. Busy Tuesday. Some of the fireworks will come this afternoon on that Apple event, which we talked about at the top of the hour, Jim. But what's front and center for you right now?
Well, I think that there's this, aside from the fact that the high multiple stocks, I mean, a lot of people are buzzing about this. I know I usually don't talk about it, but this Ford, Moody's rating change, taking it to junk. I mean, Ford has been doing a lot of stuff to try to make it so that it's not as dangerous. I know they think that the Moody's is disappointing. I look at this and AT&T. And I think there are a lot of people who want very much to be in high-yielding stocks, and they have to recognize there are countervailing forces in the bond market. David, before the AT&T, you know we were worried about the big debt load. Ford has been trying very hard. They've got some underlying issues that I think they're really helping, but this is going to cause a shudder from our viewers who have been actually saying, you know what? I can't make any money in the bond market, so I'm going to board a portfolio of Ford, Dow.
Well, after the incredible success we had in corporate issuance a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. So I actually believe that Ford is making a lot of right moves. But I also point out, and I know we're going to talk about Lyft and Uber, but the millennials just don't seem to be buying cars. And remember, cars are lasting much longer, and the millennials like to buy a Carvana, which is doing quite well. I mean, I went by a Carvana vending machine for cars on I-95. What are you laughing about? They have vending machines.
I know. You told me I have to see one.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's a vending machine for cars. Millennials don't like to talk to anybody. They like to text, and they like their car delivered in minutes. And by the way, just so we know, hey, Tesla bears, I don't know if you got the email a few minutes ago, but Tesla, select from our available inventory, explore our updated inventory available for immediate delivery and order in 2 minutes. Now, Elon obviously is no longer allowed to tweet, but this is an interesting thing.
I mean, Automotive News Europe has a piece about why these European companies are rushing to electric. It's because these EU emissions targets are going to require them to triple sales in the next couple of years.
Short
Porsche's in, VW's in.
Well, I saw races
which
down
is one reason why they're also very supportive of California's efforts, which are very similar to what are the, were the Obama regs that are rolled back by the Trump administration, leading to that big fight where they've now also got the DOJ.
Well, and you were direct.
Suing the, right. Trying to, well, investigating, not well, suing, investigating.
David was very direct last week to Larry Kudlow about how business is actually fighting this idea that you can have one set of standards mandated by the federal government, and then California's not going to roll over. California, one-fifth of the country, and it's just costing an outfit like Ford. It could cost some billions.
I know. It's a fascinating story. By the way, we always worth pointing out, Ford is the one that didn't declare bankruptcy, the only U.S. automaker. But they were left with more debt. That's kind
Yeah, they
of
never crunched the debt.
You don't actually crunch the debt, so you still have the debt. Well done, avoiding bankruptcy, but...
People don't remember that stuff now. But the F-150 is a great seller. And
well, as someone pointed out, it's worth more than the EV of the whole company.
It is. Yes. Now, the F-150, by the way, they spent a... Well, they put when Klaus Kleinfeld was running Alcoa, they lightweighted those cars, those trucks. I have bought one. They're really, I mean, talk about America. But the president doesn't seem to care as much about, wants to really roll back a lot of regulations. But in this case, there are state regulations that are very specifically not in under his control. And he can't preempt.
Well, he doesn't believe that. And
which
is why they are trying to revoke the waiver that California has and that enables them to have those mileage standards and why he's just going after them in all sorts of different ways, including some would say employing the DOJ to actually investigate collusion, which seems very
And now House Democrats are going to investigate the investigation as we're in that cycle now where we're going to our probe is going to probe your probe.
There's also that nasty thing in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
They always seem to play a role in these things.
They do.
What is that about?
Which what?
You know, Roosevelt tried to pack the Supreme Court.
He did. There are some proposals even now around increasing the number of justices.
Obviously, people like that. You just heard the applause.
Studio audience like that line. Let's get the opening bell here at the S&P 500 at the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. And the big board, it is Essex Property Trust, a REIT celebrating its 25th listing anniversary at the Nasdaq GenMab, a biotech focused on the treatment of cancer. Let's work our way through some of these downgrades, because there was a flurry of them today, Jim. UBS cuts Wells to neutral after they admit a good outperformance.
Yes, and Wells did not have, banks have been talking, and they do not have good net interest margin. I still wonder what it's like to have no CEO. What's that like to say?
You've been saying that for months.
Are you talking about Wells Fargo? I mean, they have acting. By the way, most of the U.S. government's got acting.
Yeah, but see, that I don't know what the government is per share.
Right.
But Wells Fargo per share has been an underperformer. I don't know. In the end, I know Elizabeth Warren, don't listen. I favor CEOs.
You think it's positive to have a CEO?
I think. I mean, I...
Listen, you know, it's...
Maybe not. Am I...
It is fascinating that they're having such a hard time finding someone to take
this Intel had a hard find. Now, hard job finding.
Bob Swan actually ended up... Well, right.
Yeah, but I
think... This has been harder.
But how is it possible that this company cannot find a CEO? I mean, are they worried about Elizabeth Warren attacking that?
Of course they are. And of course that person is. Why wouldn't they be?
I don't know.
If she becomes the president, what do you think is going to happen to the banks?
Well, it's not a... It would be a suboptimal situation for the banks.
You think Elizabeth Warren pushes banks into a... Well, they're already down 20% from the highs, but...
Yeah, I just think that, you know, there were these hearings in the 30s where they brought rich people in front of Congress and just kind of trashed them. It was effective.
Well, about 20 years later, we had the least discrepancy in incomes in the 50s and 60s, all right?
I don't know what's going to happen. I've got to tell you, when you get off the desk and you talk to executives, they're more fearful of her winning. I mean, I've never heard anybody say... Look, she's got to be stopped. She's got to be stopped. I don't know. She's very, she keeps going up in the polls.
She's raised a ton of money.
She's going to win Iowa, I believe. She's a very compelling figure on the stump.
By the way, I hear it too, and it's another reason why companies are being implored to do things now. If you want to get something done,
you really think
M&A or anything, think about doing it soon, because come early to mid-2020, if Elizabeth Warren's rolling along, everybody's going to be like, that's it.
So you're hearing it too.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what China says about that exact question.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, she is so anti-pollution in China. Remember, she is a person who talks about the, like Mark Benioff in his book coming out, stakeholder, the Earth. The Earth is a stakeholder. Don't worry about that.
Benioff would probably be a supporter, wouldn't he?
We don't know. Benioff is very close to the vest. Yes, very close to the best. And his new book, which I fortunately had a read, remarkable. Hey, I went to the book launch for Secretary Mattis. Wow, another.
Yeah.
Wow. It didn't work out with the president.
Speaking of progressive politics, worth mentioning California, which does appear poised to pass a law that is going to kind of outlaw the gig economy, right? Say that, in fact, you got to pay hourly wages, comp. This is a key for Uber and Lyft, which have been lobbying mightily to not have this bill pass or have an exemption if it does pass. That doesn't appear likely, at least according to the reporting out there right now, in terms of the legislature in California, the governor's expectation, Gavin Newsom, to sign it. That's a big deal for these two companies because it's going to increase costs for them and obviously costs for the riders as well. And it's unclear what it's going to mean for the drivers, some of whom, of course, are in favor of wages that are more predictable and comp and all the things that come along, all the things that come along with that. Others who like the gig economy and the freedom it gives them.
You know, the gig economy, the younger people, I think that these people have to recognize they need to be protected. It's kind of like child labor law. They all work for very little.
They do.
They all need the business. There was a piece this morning, a Grubhub negative piece, and you're talking about the cost. If you take these people suddenly have to have health care. Now, Grub would not be, but I'm just saying that I keep hearing it, that the whole business model changes.
I'm sure it does. And if California does do it, will other states follow? And it does play into the narrative to a certain extent of some of the Democratic candidates.
Yes.
And it's just something to keep in mind. It's interesting how California, which, of course, is such an engine of commerce in the world, seems poised to sort of really put the brakes on some
that'd be very big.
Companies.
That'd be very big and very bad for these companies, and they've not been faring all that well. Well, you know, today they're not only just killing the high growth, they're also killing the pharmaceutical.
How about some of the credit card companies, Global Payments, PayPal, Visa, MasterCard? Is this about J.P. Morgan's entry into some of this? Or yesterday we had the biggest jump in revolving credit among households since 2017.
Well, I mean, you know, the MasterCard and Visa, they do well on the actual transactions. My travel trust owns MasterCard. It has been a horse. I keep saying that it's almost like mutual funds are saying, I am taking profits today. I have watched these gains diminish, and I'm not going to let it happen anymore. And so that's why I've been advising individuals on Mad Money, don't catch the falling knife. Not yet. You will know when these stocks have bottomed. And they have really not bottomed. Shopify did a great acquisition. The stock is getting killed. A fulfillment acquisition.
But that's the momentum names that we've been talking about, the growth names that have been getting hurt suddenly in this violent turnaround that started, let's call it Thursday, and really picked up steam yesterday. Where value, again, this like 10 sigma event, I'm told by some of the algorithmic traders out
there. Down. Like a Waste Management had an unbelievable quarter. It's being killed because that's a consistent. Today they're getting the consistent growth. Before yesterday, they were getting the consistent high growth. They're taking those. I told you this is a bad sign. I'm going
to
reiterate.
Why not come back to value? There are some good value, right? Why not?
Well, just that people are in high growth.
Right.
But well, you're in cybersecurity. I mean, that's why not go back to value? The answer is because I'm not saying that they're not. I am saying that they're now hitting even the companies that have been the consistent. A Procter's been a massive outperformer. And they're getting that. The companies, by the way, that are being hit almost entirely beat their estimates.
Yeah.
But no one really seems to care. And they're going after the ones that didn't beat the estimates to buy them.
Right.
It's a bad time.
Guys, here's a name we haven't mentioned in years. Fannie Mae, Federal National Mortgage Association, FNMA, is the symbol. Today at 10, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is going to be testifying on the Hill, talking about their plan to remake the GSEs, remake the, these key players, Fannie and Freddie, in the mortgage market.
Okay.
Remember, they don't make the mortgages. They buy them from the banks.
Right.
We've had in place this so-called Third Amendment. Remember, the sweep? It was sued. They went to the Supreme Court. They've been all over the map, those who are opposed to it. But the government does seem poised to come up with a plan to stop the sweep, to return the profits to the corporations themselves, and then eventually, although for this they're going to need legislation, of course, to return them to the private market, so to speak, no longer be entities that are sort of government-controlled. And that's a big deal. Fannie was up 20-something percent yesterday.
Yes.
And there is the room, I'm told, where Mr. Mnuchin will be.
And so the long-awaited revival, Lazarus-like comeback of these is here.
It may be. Again, the government can stop the sweep, which apparently they're very much poised to do prior to the end of the year. However, to actually remake the Fannie and Freddie and return them to the private markets, and they would need legislation, which it's hard to imagine anything's going to get passed in the next, before the election.
Yeah, it does. But I know that a lot of individuals still are, they're playing them as lottery tickets.
Yep. Jim, we got some competition in the fast food space. Wendy's getting back into breakfast, spending about $20 million to get there. Downgrade out of Guggenheim on the heels of that, saying it adds some risk to the shares. McDonald's buys a small voice tech company and is forming what they're calling, McD Tech Labs in Silicon Valley to help them leverage AI and digital tech.
Voice is the new thing. I got to meet some young people as part of a Comcast Ventures thing, and they're two companies involved with voice, and live person involved with voice, and voice is very important. I think that's smart. Wendy's, I thought that the downgrade was fatuous. Saying that Todd Penegor is going to have a hard time as CEO managing breakfast, and so there's going to be a little money involved in breakfast. Look, you've got this day part, and you need to have that day part be used. That was the secret behind. If you want to look at what really changed the American story for Starbucks, is Kevin Johnson's figured out how to do the day part. Now, that is with Nitro. I don't know if you had a Nitro, David.
I haven't had a Nitro. No.
He did try the Wendy's, though, this morning, didn't he?
Yeah, but it was brought in.
Something. It was good. Very sweet.
That's very, very precise. Did you have the Baconator?
I didn't. I didn't.
It's right upstairs if you want to try one now, Jim.
My wife loves the double cheeseburger.
I had my Wheaties this morning. I'm all good. So, guys, AT&T. I'm watching AT&T.
Okay.
You like that segue?
Yeah. Yeah, but it was right there. It's
why not?
Time.
It's up another 1+%. During the course of the day yesterday, of course, it's now day one or day two, if you want to call it, since Elliot, we know, entered the stock with that $3.2 billion investment. And that letter, of course, outlining a number of things they'd like the company to at least think about doing. Don't get ahead of yourself here, I guess, is the only thing I'd say based on conversations with a lot of people around this thing over the last 24 hours. It's going to take a little time. It'll take a little time to play out. Now, January 27th is when the nominating window closes. It opens December 28th. That is for the director seats if Elliott decides to turn this thing into a more hostile approach. Not that the letter was that friendly, but it certainly was not unfriendly. Some people kind of wondering, well, what exactly is the ask here? Do they want management change? I think the probable answer is yes. Will they get it? We'll see.
But David,
it's going to take some time.
Okay, management change at the top or management change?
Well, NBC Dylan Byers today is reporting that Singer wants both Stanky and Stevenson out.
Yeah, I think Stanky is seen as the successor. That was kind of made clear last week, and that's not something that they necessarily want. But it's not; they're not going there at this point. And we'll have to see how things play out. They've had one conversation with Stevenson. They've had one conversation with the lead director. There's going to be a lot more to follow here, but it's not going to happen
long-running saga.
In days or weeks.
Long-running saga. I've been telling people, own the stock.
own it. You want to own it.
Be with Elliot. Be with Singer. Mm-hmm. Jesse.
Yeah, it's Jesse Cohn. It's not really
people need to know that
himself.
Singer runs a big company. He never takes credit.
No, it's Jesse Cohn who runs all this
Jesse
stuff.
Jesse Cohn is very smart.
Yes, very nice, too.
Very nice.
Yes.
I don't mean that facetious.
No.
We're back to 29.59. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Rotation, baby. That's what's going on here. We've been waiting for this for a long time, and I think we're starting to see some early signs of it. Too soon to make a trend here, but remember what's been weak throughout most of the year? Cyclical names. We've seen banks weaker, energy generally weaker, industrials generally weaker. Holding up a little better today, banks, energy, industrials started positive, a little weaker. What's been strong throughout the year? Consumer staples and semiconductors to a certain extent, different kinds of groups here, but they're also a little weaker today. This is what I talk about, the rotation. So a lot of questions yesterday that some momentum stocks had been weaker, and indeed, that was the case. If you take a look here, some of the fintech names, strong all year, PayPal, MasterCard, this is what happened yesterday, both down. Some of the consumer names. So remember, momentum names are price related. So fintech's been strong, and consumer and defensive names have been strong. Merck was down yesterday. Kimberly-Clark all had a very good year overall. Momentum names weak. What's happening today? How about these four names? Exact same thing. This is why I'm telling you, a little bit of a trend. Too early to say a major trend, but we're seeing this again for the second day in a row. Meantime, deeper cyclical names yesterday, for example, generally outperformed the market. I'm talking about the railroads, Norfolk Southern, John Deere, Fastenal. They were all up yesterday. What are some of these deeper cyclical names looking like today? This is today's performance, if you put that up. Generally, they're outperforming a little bit. Fastenal is down 1%, but the deeper cyclicals are doing a little bit better. Okay, so some evidence that some deep cyclical rotation may be going on right now. So the important thing is all year, low volatility stuff has ruled the markets. I'm talking about consumer staples have generally been strong. REITs have generally been strong. Utilities, these are from their 52-week highs. These are essentially right near historic highs all throughout the year. What else has been going on? Rotation has been going on, and these are the ones that have been hit badly. These are the ones that may be doing better if we finally start getting some rotation into the markets overall. Industrials also only about 3% from their historic highs. Meantime, a lot of discussion about WeWorks. Is it going to impact the market for IPOs in general outside of WeWorks? Remember, we've had a great year, 28% gain in the IPO ETF. That's been terrific overall. No sign it's impacting yet, but keep an eye on a couple of things. Yesterday, for example, some recent software IPOs were notably on the weak side. So if you take a look at some of them like Slack, Fastly, PagerDuty, CrowdStrike, Zoom, they were all down yesterday, rather notably. And Slack had some bad news on Friday. Their first earnings report was not very good. The guidance there was for decelerating earnings growth. So maybe something to keep an eye on here. As of now, though, we're holding up. I just want to note one thing. There's an ETF for everything. Speaking of ETFs, today, the vegan ETF actually launches at the NYSE. It excludes oil stocks, includes meat-based products. And you've got a lot of odd groups in there. Of course, you've got Beyond Meat in there. But you've got everything else that excludes all these other groups in here. And so you've got companies like Microsoft and Apple that don't seem like they have anything to do with vegan products. And I guess, guys, that's the problem with some of these restricted IPO, restricted ETFs, right. Very, very limited amount of things to buy for them. Guys, back to you.
All right. We'll see if that universe gets any larger, Bob. Thanks. Let's get to the bond pitch, too. Rick Santelli at the CME. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Carl. We are certainly seeing an ongoing rise in global interest rates. Now, granted, it's not a torrid pace up the way it was on the downside in August, but it is steadily climbing. Look at a one-week chart of our two-year note yields. Everything on our curve's up about a basis point, and you can see clearly building there, and the distance from some of the cycle lows, whether intraday or closing levels, is starting to get to be a bit of a cushion. And that's making some that have been long nervous, especially in front of central banks, meetings, which are coming this week and next week. Look at a one-week chart of 30s. Same dynamic in place with an asterisk. Here at 212 we stand, the temperature of boiling water. But technically, it is a boiling point for 30-year bonds. 209 has very special significance. When we closed below it, we accelerated. Now that we're closing above it, we should start to see some consolidation to the upside in yield. If we look at Boons actually are the longest comp here. They're currently trading at levels they haven't closed at since the 8th of August, so a little more than a month. Our long end's a little bit less than a month. Finally, with all the talk about maybe the talks with China are going to come to fruition with some sort of solution. We see that while this has been going on, the dollar yuan, the Chinese currency, has been falling against the greenback. You really can't tell a lot by looking at this chart regarding at least what the market thinks on the state of negotiations. Carl, David, Jim, back to you.
All right, Rick, thank you. It is the end of an era for Alibaba. Jack Ma retiring today as executive chairman of the Chinese e-commerce giant that he co-founded 20 years ago. CEO Daniel Zhang will succeed him in the chairman's role. Ma has grown Alibaba into a $460 billion online retail juggernaut, currently China's richest man, with a net worth of almost $40 billion, according to Forbes. Kyle Bass tweeting a moment ago, like clockwork, Ma was forcibly removed and will likely be jailed or disappeared within the next year. This is how Xi and Wang treat any Chinese that become too powerful. Wow. How about that, Kyle?
That doesn't sound completely accurate to me.
Yeah.
Jack has been taking a lesser and lesser role at the company. Of course, he is its spiritual leader without a doubt and has been. Daniel Zhang, obviously, has been the CEO, will be stepping up. And I don't necessarily think he's going anywhere.
I remember who he told me was the hero. His hero was Forrest Gump. So.
Well, he told us that here. I was going time with Jack, although I have not seen him in some time.
I was hoping he'd say Mal.
And listen, it is a very intricate dance that you do as a very powerful CEO in China with the Communist Party and with the government. Mr. Ma has done it exceedingly well.
Mao was kind of a redistributionist. Yeah. I think Mao would take every dime that guy had. Maybe Kyle Bass is looking at Xi as Mao.
And then Joe Tsai is still, you know, obviously he's very involved actually here with the basketball team, the Nets, which he's going to become the full owner of.
Yeah, I'm going to get some season tickets there. So. Did they entertain you enough, David? Not enough? I'm trying to entertain David. I'm trying to entertain David. David doesn't like anything, so I'm just trying to find things.
Keep working on it.
All right?
Keep working on it.
Yeah, I'll keep working on it. I saw Häagen-Dazs ice cream for $5 at the Family Dollar I went to yesterday. David, you would love the new Family
Dollar.
Big one?
Big Häagen-Dazs?
No, but you would love the new Family Dollar. I'm going to take him to a Family Dollar. I got 10 pairs of sunglasses at the Dollar Tree for $10. I got 5 bags of stuff at the Dollar Tree. I went to a Dollar Tree at a Family Dollar. 5 bags of stuff for $16.
So you're not a fan of the Dollar General downgrade at Bernstein?
No, that was stupid.
145 target.
No, I happen to like Dollar Tree. I didn't mean to say it was stupid. I think it's ill-advised.
Ill-advised.
Yeah.
Dow is down 48, just slightly off of session lows at the open, 29.62. We're back in just a minute.
Hero I had is Forrest Gump. 14 years ago when I watched
Box of Chocolates?
Yeah.
You know he's a fictional character,
though.
You
didn't like that guy. I've been watching that movie for about 10 times. Every time when I'm frustrated, I watch the movie. And I watched movie before I came here again.
For humility?
Yeah, for coming to the New York. Because I watched the movie again and telling me that no matter whatever changed, you are you. And I'm still the guy 15 years ago.
Take a look at Apple year to date, almost 35% gain. But what will they say this afternoon about the new iPhones, about wearables, about content? You're going to have to keep your eyes peeled to the TV starting this afternoon Eastern time. Dow's down 70. We're back in a minute. Jim, what's on Mad tonight?
I'm browsing the Goldman Sachs catalog. Came with Restoration Hardware and Williams-Sonoma. Okay, we have VMware. It's a very important stock because it's down big. And I have Sanjay Poonen. If that stock goes up after this interview, we're down, going down. You know, I'll get back to my catalog.
Yeah, that's gorgeous production.
Dave, you see this deal? It's One Kings Lane. They've got a great chair.
Beautiful.
Look at this.
Let's get to break. Mad Money tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.